Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In 1997, Hong Kong returned to Chinese rule. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone was published. Ellen DeGeneres became the first openly gay woman to star in her own sitcom. And the Khmer Rouge held a trial for Cambodian dictator Pol Pot. But the thing the world was talking about was the box office battle between Dante's Peak and Volcano. Everyone remembers where they were and what they were doing the day those films released. And it was in a cinema, watching them. Today they go head-to-head in the final Clash of the Titles, the movie podcast where two films with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death. Meaning that after 4 years of talking it up, we're actually doing the two biggest movies of 1997 and maybe ever.
Excuse me. I would like to underline that these are just precautionary measures. We don't want to start a panic.
Did anybody feel that?
Gentlemen, please remain calm. Please just stay with me.
I felt that.
Just stay calm. Please, thank you. Don't push. Please stay calm.
Mitch, I don't know how to describe this, but the tarpus themselves are on fire, and they're right now spilling out onto Wilshire Boulevard. It's coming right up out of the ground itself. It's as if the tar caught fire, melted, and somehow expanded. The downed fire truck is still on its side. Injured firefighters desperately in need of medical help. Rescue personnel are starting to arrive. I know this sounds crazy, but it almost looks like lava, volcanic lava pouring onto the street.
It really has all been building to this, meaning the heat is on, so let's get it on in the penultimate episode of Clash of the Titles.
The Kraken.
Hello, Clash Podders. I'm Chris Tilley.
I'm Vicky Crompton.
And there's no Alex today. So for our final episodes, the trio is a duo.
Yep.
How are you feeling about that, Vicky?
About being a duo?
Yeah, you're stuck with me.
That's all right. It's always all right.
Anyway, we're doing Dante's Peak and Volcano.
Finally.
Finally.
Do you think people know that this is what we pitched it on? I say pitch. I don't know if it was ever that formal, but this is the promise of the premise. This is the only two films I could think of at the time when we talked about doing movie duels, flashes.
Well, no, I think it was Armageddon and Deep Impact, but this was the second one.
Yeah.
This was the other one.
And then I think we got
about.
superstitious about doing it for some reason. We just never had the time.
No, I tell you what happened is I kept saying this is good for a live show.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it is. Because don't think we're going to be, they're not going to last a huge amount of time. They're both fun. They're both stupid. We are going out with a bang. It's just we're going out with two slightly shit films. I don't know. They're fine. They're perfectly watchable and entertaining.
They are, yeah.
And we're going to have fun talking them through.
Yes.
So what was the clue you gave?
Are you ready? We're finally having a lava fun.
Oh, okay.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
No.
Actually, do you know what? I'm playing it down because I expected you to fall off your chair laughing. I think
it's really good.
I think it's the best.
A lava fun. You should have done it in a Cilla Black accent.
That's exactly what Alex Zane said.
Really?
And I bollocked him for continually railroading me to doing an impression. In 4.5 years, I haven't. I don't think I have.
You do it now.
I'll tell you what, we'll get a lot of stuff off our chest today.
I did
do an impression for you, didn't I? Of Daphne from Frasier, but I think it was in...
Just your accent.
Private. Yeah.
Just your accent. Yeah.
It's not a big reach.
To Americans, you probably sound identical to Daphne. Yeah. So lots of people guessed it correctly.
Brilliant.
So I'm just looking now. Sorry, I'm jet lagged. I got back. My boiler's not working. I've not done everything I should have done. All right, let's just go through. Robert, Zombie, BG, Alex Sugden, Richard Hockney. I'll read them all out. Russell, Tim Wilkins, Mark Pearson. Smashbody Mind didn't get it right. They knew what it was, but they decided to go another direction.
Fine.
Craig Main, Scott Shawley. This could go on forever. Joseph Connors. Hi, Joseph. We haven't heard from you in a while. John, everyone got it right. Well done, everyone.
Well done. Thank you. That, to me, means it was an excellent clue.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to say that for a while.
Congratulations,
thank
Vicky.
You. Those are my metrics.
Finally.
Finally.
So, connection section.
Yeah. I've got, well, apart from the obvious one, which is they're about the same thing.
There's quite a lot, actually, isn't there?
Yes.
Although they're very different films, they share a lot of DNA.
My favourite one is the lead men are both supposed to be on holiday.
I mean, that is specific, isn't it?
I love that.
Yeah, because they've both got to learn a lesson.
Yeah.
And the lesson is enjoy your holiday.
Go on holiday.
But if they hadn't
been there.
If they'd stayed on holiday, everyone would have died.
In the case of Tommy Lee Jones, he doesn't really know what he's doing, but he is the person in charge nonetheless.
Oh yes, we will get to that on Thursday. Yeah. There's a massive issue at the heart of that movie.
Yeah.
The lesson he learns in Volcano is just stay on holiday.
Yes.
They phone him at the end.
Yeah.
There's a new one. He's like, no, I'm on vacation. But if he'd done that the first time, everyone in LA would be dead.
Everyone would be dead.
What a weird lesson to learn. They're both volcanologists, which is a word I'd never heard.
Yes. There's cooked... I was struggling with rodents, but there's cooked squirrels and cooked rats. So
yeah.
That's rodents, no?
There's dogs...
The rescue of the dogs,
yes.
My God.
It's shit in both of them, isn't it?
It's so shit in Volcano where they'll kill two firefighters without thinking about it, but not a dog.
No. Yeah, well, Alex would defend that.
I know, but
decision.
He's not here.
I guess they'd done the dog thing was a big moment in Independence Day, so they were just
cut and paste.
But it feels like an afterthought in both movies.
Yes.
To the point that I don't think either of the dogs are credited at the end of the films, which annoyed me.
Typical.
I wanted to know what the dogs were called.
Unbelievable.
James Newton Howard was involved with both scores. Boring connection of the day.
This is a little bit weak. Someone gets their legs broken in both of them.
Yes.
Kind of understandable when there's rocks involved.
Yeah.
That's all I've got.
Fine. Though. Should we get into it?
Yeah.
Okay. On Thursday, Vicky's showing us her volcano, meaning today I'm revealing Dante's Peak. So let me take you on a journey. Pierce Brosnan is pissed off because a volcano killed his girlfriend. And if the mountain won't come to Pierce Brosnan, Pierce Brosnan will go to the mountain. The volcanologist trying and failing to save the people of Dante's Peak from Dante's Inferno. Though they won't listen as the entire town is basically the mayor from Jaws. But while it seems like a disaster movie, this is really a story about cutting toxic members of your family out of your life. The message being, treat your daughter-in-law well or have your legs burnt off by acid. So where did you first see Dante's Peak, Vicky?
Well, I think this might be the first time I've seen it because I was very cocky. I was like, I've seen this before. But I don't think because...
Why would you be cocky about that?
I don't know. I don't like to not know things.
Okay.
Grandma in the acid lake. I was like, no, I haven't seen this before. That's fantastic. So obviously I saw one volcano film that year and it wasn't this one.
Okay. So you've definitely seen... You had definitely seen Volcano, but
yes,
not this.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'd seen them both. I can't remember much about either of them.
No,
so
no.
You might have seen it. I forgot. I was pretty surprised and shocked by Grandma in the Acid.
Yeah.
But yeah, 97, they came out. These are not films I would have gone to see in the cinema in 1997 when I was at uni.
Right.
You know, middling to bad reviews, couldn't be arsed, had better things to do. So these would have been video watches with my mates on a Friday night or whatever. And they just whatever.
Just okay.
Yeah. Very, very forgettable. And yet I think they'll be very fun to talk about. Let's get going with Dante's Peak, this disaster film directed by Roger Donaldson, who we've had fun with in the past.
What have we done?
Cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he did Species.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Interesting yeah. CV. Written by Leslie Boheme. It's the story's modelled after Mount St. Helens. And I learned from the commentary, which I did listen to on the plane.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's not the most exciting commentary.
Gosh, really?
Roger Donaldson isn't the most exciting commentator. But I learned like two or three facts.
Okay.
And I slept through quite a lot of it.
Right.
The footage throughout most of the film, that the volcano footage, inspired by the couple called the Crafts. Do you know about them, their story? Yeah. See, I've picked up on this and I keep meaning to watch these films.
Oh, is that the documentary?
Exactly.
That was out this year?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There's three films about them, actually. Yeah. Two of them are made by Werner Herzog.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one of them came out and it got lots of acclaim.
Yeah.
And it sounds like something you used to watch on a huge cinema screen, but it also sounds sad because they were a couple, Catherine and Maurice. They were French volcanologists and filmmakers, and they died on Mount Uzun in Japan on June the 3rd, 1991. But they became well known as a couple who filmed, photographed, recorded volcanoes. No one had got as close as they had to what was going on in the middle of the volcano when it erupts. And ultimately, it very sadly killed them. But yeah, Werner Herzog made Into the Inferno and The Fire Within. And then Fire of Love was the big one.
Right.
From
I'd like to see it.
Last year. Yeah, it sounds great. So in 1990... they just died, actually, when he was inspired by their footage. So that's what he was trying to capture while he was making this film. And then obviously I'll just briefly touch upon the twin movie thing, because we had two volcanoes coming out the same year. 20th Century Fox's Volcano was supposed to hit first on February the 28th, 1996, and then Universal had Dante's Peak on March the 7th. But then there became this battle for which film would be first, because I guess the idea is if you're first out the gate, you've got more chance of being successful, because people won't want to go to the cinema twice.
I don't think they would.
Essentially the same movie.
No.
And so Universal announced that Dante's Peak was going to be out on February the 7th. So they gazumped Fox and took out trade ads all over the place saying, this is what we're doing. And so Fox couldn't release it at the end of 1996. It wasn't going to be ready. And so the only place they could put it was January. But they were re-releasing Star Wars in January.
Right.
A New Hope was coming back into cinemas with this special edition. And George Lucas was talking about making new Star Wars movies. And they didn't want to piss off George Lucas. Plus, there was a lot of money on the table by re-releasing Star Wars with a special edition. And it was huge. And so they did not do that. They considered May for releasing it. But The Lost World, Jurassic Park, was coming out in May. Another disaster movie, essentially. And yeah, that was huge. So they decided on April instead. And that ended up being something of a disaster for them. But I guess more on that on Thursday. As for Dante's Peak, that was kind of a success.
Mm.
Cost $116 million, which seems insane. That's for 1997.
Yeah.
That's a crazy amount.
Yeah.
But it made $178 million.
Okay.
Which I think is fine.
Yeah.
And certainly better than what happened to the film on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got some sort of factual stuff, but we'll get into that when we're talking about the film, because that's a bit dry, but the film isn't.
How nice. Okay.
So the movie kicks off with something erupting in Colombia. People running and screaming, and volcanologist Harry Dalton, played by Pierce Brosnan.
The Dalton thing, it's not an it's not a Bond in joke,
think
is it? Because that's rude.
No, I don't think
okay,
so. But it is weird. Wouldn't you say, I don't think I want to be Dalton in a film?
Yeah, because it seems mean-spirited. But okay, fine.
Yeah, I guess so. Mean-spirited if your film's a classic, but whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's escaping with his lady friend.
Well, this is the thing, because I hadn't seen it, and it's shaky. There's a lot of shaky cam. Don't mind that. very strong start. You're like, oh, we're in a volcano already. Mm. I was like, is this starting at the end? That's maddening. Mm. But no, it's fine. We're just in a volcano.
James Bond style.
Brilliant. And then you see the woman, and then you're like, oh, because I remember, oh, that's not Linda Hamilton. Oh, you're going to die. And the minute he's like, Marion. And it's like, oh, you're going to you're gonna be fridged.
I can't see.
So quickly.
I've called her Miss Fridged. Is that okay?
I think that's her name. And to be honest, given that we're in the penultimate episode of Clash of the Titles, this for me is the example par excellence of frigid.
It's unbelievable.
Unreal. The woman barely talks and that's it, gone.
Yeah. And I don't like it, actually, when he says, I can't even see the road, sweetheart. I don't like him calling her sweetheart.
But otherwise we wouldn't know who she is. She's just some sort of very enthusiastic co-worker.
Use her name. Okay. I see what you're saying. So,
I thought, which I don't know why I thought this, it's just doing this podcast for too long. So the big boulder goes through the roof of the car and he's like, sweetheart, or whatever. And then he's going to pull her head to have a look. And I was like, I bet half her fucking head's
gone. Yes, that would have been better.
But it's not.
No.
She's just
no,
been bonked
family
on the
film.
Head.
Yeah. But yeah, so she, yeah, it's the ultimate example of a character being fridged because
gives him his pain and his story and his motivation.
Well, we cut to 4 years later and he's doing press ups because he's sad.
I forgot about the press ups.
But he has a nemesis now, and his nemesis is a volcano.
Oh, yeah. Killed his wife. not his wife, his girlfriend. Apologies.
A volcanologist doesn't need a volcano to be his nemesis. It doesn't need to be his enemy.
If anything, no, it's the love of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Marion probably would have been chuffed to get killed like that. There's a lot of that in both of these films where it's like, well, we just want to see the show. And it's like, but it's going to kill you.
Well, to get to the show. We'll get to the show on Thursday. But when something's going on in the Northern Cascades around Dante's Peak, Harry sees an opportunity to defeat that enemy.
Although he does say, "What is boss, what are the chances? Well, about 10,000 to one, I'd say." It's like, so you don't know what you're talking about then, because you are categorically wrong.
Categorically wrong. So he heads off to this beautiful part of the world where Mayor Rachel Wando, played by Linda Hamilton, is accepting a somewhat specific award for her town being the second most desirable place to live in America with a population of less than 20,000.
Yes, or also the whitest place in the world, TM. Like, did you see the crowd? Mm. Come on, casting. We can do better than that.
I mean, that's been a recurring motif of the last few years doing this podcast
shocking.
As well.
It's shocking.
Yeah. That population does briefly increase by two when a couple of out-of-towners head to the hot springs for some nookie.
Bit of a shame here, because later on, that's a couple in water. And later on, Pierce Brosnan will go, I would know this amazing fact about if you put a frog in a glass of water and you gently boil it, they will stay in it. It's like, do it to the couple then.
Yes.
Like, they're in a body of water.
Yeah.
Heat them up. So they're like, this is lovely.
Yeah,
and then they boil to death.
Yeah, but the water heats up and they fry.
It heats up instantly.
Yes. But here's one of my facts. This one's interesting.
Go on.
In reality, that wouldn't happen because when magma hits water, it does not boil. It just explodes.
The water explodes.
Yeah.
Great.
They'd explode.
So they would have gone pointing out.
We could have watched this couple explode.
Naked out of the pond.
Again, I guess they're making sort of a semi-family film, so they shine away from... I mean, obviously there's some heavy stuff later, but actually they do cut away
it's
from so some
of
the...
It's so rude that they're out of towners as well, because they're like, well, we couldn't possibly kill anyone. Not yet. We won't kill anyone from town yet.
Yeah, but it does cause a problem for the plot later on. But Harry discovers that the water's acidic and both trees and squirrels are dying. So a council meeting is called... But as I said in my introduction, the entire town is the mayor from Jaws. And so they're refusing to believe that the heat is on. Though there's also the small matter of not wanting to scare off a businessman who's investing $18 million in the area and bringing 800 jobs to town. Maybe non-white people will be getting those
jobs.
Who knows? It's not clear why he's investing or what the factory is. Yeah, what's going on
there? No idea. What that would do to the economic balance of the town.
No,
no thought given.
No.
Was the town poor? Does it need that level of investment?
No.
It looks all right.
Underdeveloped.
Yeah.
Underdeveloped. So then the US Geological Survey come to town, including Harry's boss. You mentioned him, Hallahan. Who we know him famously from The Thing.
Oh.
Awful things happened to him in The Thing. played by Paul Dreyfuss. And he sort of undermines Harry's efforts to put the town on alert.
Shuts it down.
Because he admits that he once bankrupted a town for mistakenly doing that previously.
Well, you wouldn't move there, would you? That's the thing. So I get it. I thought that was quite, it's quite boring, but it was quite interesting.
People move to San Francisco and Los Angeles, though.
So true. They do. They flock there, in fact.
I want to live there.
They love it there so very much. You can't stop them.
Based on something that happened, though.
Right.
So in 1980, there were rumblings at the Mammoth Lakes in California that there was this seismic activity that was the result of magma moving around. So when the geologists expressed their fear that there was going to be an eruption at those lakes, the tourists stopped coming and the local community's economy
just
was
collapsed.
Ruined. But the volcano never blew and the locals went nuts. They began threatening the geologists. And that agency has since changed its policy to be careful about scaring the public unless they're sure of danger. So I found this article that the Associated Press wrote about this film in 1997. And according to the experts back then, Dalton would probably have been sacked for calling on the city council meeting so quickly.
Right.
Interesting. So there's a visit to the peak of Dante's Peak by a chopper, but she's quiet.
She's quiet.
She's quiet. Harry claims he's better at volcanoes than politics, but he charms the mayor enough that he's soon eating dinner with the single mum and her two kids.
This pair are so desperate. Like, one dinner and they're like, tell me absolutely everything.
Everything.
Not a problem. Will
everything.
Do.
Everything. Why I'm single, what's going
yeah,
on.
What's going on.
I mean, they're both lovely looking people.
Yeah.
Bit of a connection.
Maybe.
I don't mind them as a couple.
I don't like that ongoing coffee joke. I find that really galling.
No, apparently geologists drink a lot of coffee.
So does everybody.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you not?
So I don't know if there's certain jobs where
do you
they
not drink coffee at all?
I don't like it, no.
Is this one of these things I always forget really important things like that? I would offer you a coffee.
I wouldn't be offended.
I've known you for years.
I wouldn't be offended if you offered me a coffee.
You should be, though, because you will have told me.
I didn't drink tea until recently.
Okay.
I don't even know why I drink
I don't know
it.
How you relax?
Does coffee relax you?
No, good point. How do you wake up?
I had tea now, and okay. It sort of warms me up.
Yeah.
And then in the summer, I'm not so bothered.
You just don't. Yeah.
Anyway, enough about me.
Not this week, you don't, because you haven't got any. Oh, no, you've got electricity.
Yeah, the kettle works.
Kettle's fine.
Yeah.
Everything else is fucked.
I had a bath in kettle water.
Brilliant. Like a dog.
At this dinner, Harry entertains the kids with some napkin magic. Now,
yes.
Vicky, I have a question for you. Do you know what the question's going to be?
Would that pass muster with the kids, as in that napkin trick?
How does that compare with Jude Law's Mr. Napkin Head in The Holiday?
You can't come for
come
Jude
close,
Law.
No.
No way.
But it is Pierce Brosnan.
I know, I don't, like, I think I'm not the right generation to be ruffled by Pierce Brosnan. I appreciate his work a lot, but obviously I don't find him attractive.
Did he not give you a funny feeling when you were a kid? And he
no.
Was gone?
No, it's a valid question. No, not at all.
There's something about him I don't really get as well.
Yeah.
In terms of the, he's good looking.
Yes,
but there's something,
he's a nice voice.
Yeah.
But there's something just missing.
He's a good actor and he's great in some films.
Yeah.
Fine in this. Yeah, no, okay, well, I don't get it. Yeah, I don't get it. And then again, I'm not massively attracted to Jude Law, but it's you that's taught me about the glasses.
The glasses, come
on.
The
holiday. But
have a think about it for a minute and then come back to me.
And Mr.
And is he a book editor or something? And he's a widower. Are you joking?
Yeah, but Mr. Napkinhead, it feels like a red flag.
Yeah, it does.
Because it seems like he's done it before. And so.
And it works.
So he's practiced it in the mirror potentially, or he's done it with other children.
Yeah, he has.
Fucking hell.
It's less cute now, actually. You're right.
Oh, shit. I've spoiled the holiday. Anyway, Elf.
Yeah.
So back to the volcano, and the geologists set up a giant robot called Elf, which
that's worth £500,000, and they kick the shit out of it.
Who's it built by?
NASA.
NASA.
Yeah.
We hear that a lot in the film, and it doesn't work. This is true,
right?
NASA really did build a robot to climb into a crater, and it was named Dante.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It had these spider legs, like the kind of the one in the movie, and they used it to climb into a crater in the Antarctic.
And how did it not work?
I don't know if the NASA one didn't work.
Right.
I do not. I think that might be just the film version doesn't.
Right, okay. I don't think you should keep kicking it anyway. I think it's a mistake.
Okay.
It's not a car. I mean, I'm saying that. Modern cars, you don't kick them either, do you, to get them going? Old cars, yes. Modern cars, no.
You don't kick anything in real life to get it going. That is a movie.
It is a movie thing, but my old van, you could kick it and it would go.
Fair enough. Maybe, yeah.
But I've told you this story. We had a mechanic who charged us 100 euros and all he did was go underneath it and hit it with a rock a lot. And then he was like, that's money. And I was like, I can't believe I'm actually going to give you money, but fine.
Turn it off and on again.
Yes.
Yeah, the guy today was hitting my boiler quite hard.
With a rock.
With a spanner. So they take Elf up a mountain and a minor earthquake causes an avalanche and one of Harry's team breaks his leg, meaning Harry springs into action and bravely rescues him and airlifts his colleague to safety.
Yes, because he's a hero.
Yes, we have to have a heroic moment. It feels a bit contrived, but it also feels quite James Bond.
Yeah.
And that is Pierce Brosnan up that rope. Donaldson said...
I feel like I could tell, actually. I thought he'd be the sort of guy that was like...
Yeah, he said he wanted to, and Donaldson wasn't sure, but said, fine, do it if you really want to. But, of course, it was the day the studio head came to the set and said...
That's not Pierce Brosnan up there, is it?
What are you doing? What are you doing with that price?
I'm just
going to
have a quick chat with Pierce. Ah, yeah, now, listen, about that, I think he's having a wee. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
But good for Pierce. Much respect. Then there's more scenes of Harry trying to convince the town of the danger they're in and more scenes of the town refusing to believe him.
Yeah.
Stuff's just boring, isn't it? In spite of the fact, two people cooked to death.
Yes.
In a spring.
Yeah.
I feel like that's evidence of something going on that maybe we should pause everything.
Like, it's a volcano or we'll go home. No. How about it's a volcano or... there's something wrong in that spring. Maybe we should look into that.
So Harry gets drunk and walks Rachel home and is about to shag her.
Oh my God. My favourite bit here is like, she's like, I haven't been with anyone for such a long time. And then he goes, well, they say it's like riding. And then I was like, okay, it's like riding a bike. And then you don't say the rest of the sentence because everybody knows. And he doesn't only, he says, it's like riding a bicycle. That's gross. And then he says the rest of it. It's like riding a bicycle. They say you never forget it. God. Go away.
No.
Yeah, that's a red flag.
Okay, we got several red flags already for Harry Dalton.
Stop patronising me with well-known phrases.
But their shag is interrupted by the drinking water, which turns to sand, meaning the mountains are ticking time bomb.
Great.
But clearly not ticking all that fast as they schedule a meeting at 6 p.m.
I was confused,
the next evening.
Because he'd said before in a sort of hero dramatic way, if that thing blows, it's going to be with you in 1 minute. And then they're like, sand water! We're having a meeting at 6 o'clock. He's like, why is no one running for their life?
Ticking bomb. You've used the phrase ticking bomb and we're going to wait till 6 p.m.
the next day.
In a meeting. Yeah. So it just doesn't seem like good crisis management from
poor.
Anyone involved.
Yes.
And on that bombshell, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, the volcano finally erupts.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
And we're back. And that eruption finally happens during said meeting, meaning Dante's peak finally starts gushing an hour in. And it's pretty great. There's a stampede with people running, power lines falling, bridges collapsing, cars getting destroyed, buildings coming down. Rachel wants to get her kids, but there's a subplot I haven't mentioned yet. The most important subplot in Dante's Peak, and that involves Ruth, the mother-in-law from hell.
Grandma, love her.
She hates Rachel, even though her deadbeat son ran out on Rachel and his children.
She also hates volcanologists. When he goes up to see her the first time, he's like, we're just a little concerned about the thing. She's like, nothing's going on here, Harry. And it's like, what are you hiding, Ruth? Like, why do you hate volcanologists so much? Yeah. Man's just trying to help.
Because she loves the volcano.
Yes.
This man
loves... meddling bastard.
This man arguably loves volcanoes more than she does, at least until Sweetheart got killed.
Yeah. It just doesn't track, because her only thing could be, when new volcanologists come along, everyone in the town gets panicked and leaves. But she lives outside of town anyway and doesn't seem to give a shit about the rest of town. So none of it makes any sense.
No, but she certainly ain't moving for no volcano. Oh, no. And this is inspired by real events. In 1980, when Mountain St. Helens was about to blow, a local resident called Harry R. Truman, who was living in a failed tourist lodge that he had owned for 50 years, refused to leave. He said, no way, Jose. And he was even interviewed on camera, pointedly warned to leave, and insisted that the danger was being wildly exaggerated.
Oh dear, and did it not end well?
At 8:32 a.m. on May the 18th, 1980, there was a lateral blast which removed the entire side of the mountain, and his body was never found.
Oof.
So, I don't know, maybe he's still up there, like...
You know what, he might be fine, mightn't he? Yeah, ha ha.
He's a mountain man now.
Yeah, I'm really off grid. I don't pay any tax now, by the way.
So there's quite a lot of reality in this movie that it seems so far fetched. So the kids, the grandchildren, go on a suicide mission to rescue her and a bloody dog, even though she clearly at this point deserves to die.
Yes, she does. She's really, really unreasonable.
Yes. Then there's a car crash in a river, which I didn't see coming.
And Harry as hero, he was stuck and he didn't want to admit it. And if that car hadn't crashed into them, they all would have died. But he's like, yep, got it. No, this car is a boat, did I mention?
Then ash starts falling, buildings start exploding.
Yeah.
Exploding. But
is it gas?
I guess so. Well, we've just learned that water explodes when magma hits it. Anything, so why wouldn't a building? There's a landslide. Which means the whole gang gets stuck at Grandma's. And then Granny gets it. So they get in a boat.
Yes.
And they're sailing on this water, and they're singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Oh, so jarring. Not the way to keep the kids calm.
And during the boat trip, they realise all the fish are dead because the water is now acid, and that's burning through the boat. So, reality check. There are acidic lakes associated with volcanoes, but it would take much longer for them to become toxic enough to melt a boat.
Great.
And if the lake was that acidic, the family would have breathed it in, killing them long before they reached the shore.
That's actually quite reassuring. It was a really stressful scene. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know what they were going to do to get out. Yes. So I liked it for that. I liked Pierce Brosnan wrapping his jacket around his hand.
Yeah.
I thought other people could have helped out, to be honest. It's just him rowing with one arm. If Linda had got involved, very strong woman, then they maybe would have made it a bit quicker and Granny wouldn't have to sacrifice herself.
And she's Sarah Connor.
Yeah, like, so she can definitely do it.
She's tougher than him.
Yes, it's 100%.
But ultimately, Grandma gets in the water to push them onto shore.
She does walk right past the jetty, though. Did you not notice? It's good. She has to do something.
Yeah.
It's her fault that the kids are up there. Yeah. It's a good grandma moment. But then there's the jetty and she's like, gotta get to the land. And it's like, you could just pop yourself on the jetty, grandma. It's fine. You might live.
It results in her legs burning off.
Off. Sorry. And then they just sort of leave her there, if you think about it. Like, on the mountain forever.
She dies.
She dies.
Yeah.
But would you not feel bad about leaving her body? I suppose it will come back when this is over.
Yeah, and it's half her body.
It is, yes. Their legs have melted. So I couldn't believe they carried her as far as they did, to be honest.
Yeah, and we get a dramatic, emotional moment where she makes her peace with Rachel before
Story-wise is good, because otherwise the whole family being up the mountain is pointless and it's just annoying. But the family is mended now in some small way because of what the kids did to rescue Grandma and her sacrifice, and on we go.
Yeah, so I mean, genuinely, thinking about it, the kids' stuff in this film was better than the daughter stuff in Volcano.
Yeah, the daughter stuff in Volcano is very frustrating.
Yeah, this is
very dull.
This does make sense. So elsewhere, the National Guard getting everyone out of town. A dam floods. Our family walks through some ash. Harry hotwires a car.
Yeah.
He drives through a fire, wheels ablaze.
It looks like a mistake. Like, can we make it? Let's find out. Oh, but I've just remembered, if we can't make it, we're definitely going to die because we're in a big lake of lava and the car is on fire. Maybe try and find a way around. But then it's like, your tyres are so on fire. I can't believe that they got out of that, but he can drive anything. So
it's James Bond.
Yeah.
A dog jumps to safety.
Stupid.
Whatever. Annoying. Hallahan, our kind of villain-ish.
But he's very remorseful. I love the scene where he rings Harry to go, you were right. It's like, we know. Yeah, we know. Yeah. It's fine. That's only there so the hero can be properly...
Yeah, but he's decent. He's decent. He's he had logic for his reasoning.
He did.
But he dies on a river in a pretty undignified fashion. But it isn't as bad as what they say later when they tell Harry. It really is the movie's most chilling line. At least he saw the show.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess know. It's not worth dying
but
over.
But they do a similar one in Volcano. So maybe that is just the thing we don't know about because we're not in the natural sciences.
Yeah.
That if you are in that sphere, you would love to see it.
The most honourable thing you can do is die watching the thing you love.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'll have a heart attack watching Crystal Palace win the FA Cup final?
God, it probably does. Do you not think? Oh, that just made me run cold that you said that, because I think you've just predicted your own end.
Well, I say it because when I was a kid, I'm pretty sure I saw a guy die at Crystal Palace.
No.
Yeah, sitting, I can't remember, next to me or in front of me. And he was a very old man.
Oh, my God.
And when the final whistle went, he keeled over, I'm guessing heart attack, and he looked dead.
Well, that's why there's first aid cover now at large events.
Mm. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened to him. You know, this was pre-internet. And then,
oh, my God, it was you from... You saw you!
Oh, God, oh, my God. Terminator moment.
Oh, my God!
But what I do remember, it was a very, very dull 0-0 draw.
So not worth it.
It was very cold that night. Was it worth it, mate?
No. Should have stayed
in. If he'd stayed home.
Yeah, watch the Generation Game or whatever was on at the time.
Yeah, it really affected me, the fact that it had been a boring match. Not then, because I was like seven, but when I got older, I was like, couldn't it have been a 4-3 win and he scores the winner in the 90th minute against Liverpool and it gives him a heart attack, but he heard the final whistle.
We never know when our number's up.
No.
And it might be. It's most likely to be something quite dull if we're lucky.
I'm just reading. There's an incredible book about the making of Dazed and Confused. It's a huge hardback and it's got everyone in it talking about it. And it's a really fascinating story. And I'd forgotten that it's his first movie and his father died a week into the show. Shoot. I mean, he was only in two or three scenes.
Yeah.
But yeah, his father died between his first scene and his second scene. But his father famously died while having sex with his mother.
Right.
I'd forgotten this.
Right.
But what I didn't know, but I learned in this book, is they said he'd spent years telling his boys, now I'm going to go out having sex with your mother.
Wowzers.
He called it.
Right.
Like Babe Ruth pointing to where he was hitting that baseball and then hitting it there.
So he must have known that he had a health condition, because every time he did it, his chest tightened up.
Maybe it made it more exciting. His mother, I mean, sorry, this is all stories from this book. I'm gutted we'll never get too dazed and confused now, because I'm getting so much gold. But his mother said at the funeral he did finish, so...
So I can't be mad at him.
No, they're quite a family of characters, the McConaughey's.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, so McConaughey's dad knew how he was going to go out, and maybe
and
I
now
do.
You do.
Maybe
too.
I do. Well, you know what? If I've had a good innings...
Then fair enough.
I'm sorry, I'm mixing my metaphors now. And it is we win the FA Cup final, finally. Yeah. My number's up, but that number is 4-3 to Crystal Palace in the FA Cup final.
I think you'll be secretly mad that you wouldn't get to join in the celebrations, because I think in your head, which I think is fair, there's like an ultimate party after that event because it's so unusual. Well, it's never happened.
If it's Crystal, it's never happened. So for Crystal Palace, it would last for 10 years.
Yeah.
at least, because it's never won
anything.
So
you could get up to the pearly gates and say, please just let me have the party because I've been looking forward to it. And then you could trick God or Jesus or whatever it is that's up there.
I think it's Peter, isn't it?
Peter, an angel.
Peter's the doorman.
Pete, listen. I just really want to go to the party. And then you're like, ha ha, it's 10 years.
Please,
fuck you, Peter.
Please, can I just go to that Wetherspoons?
Just 4 pints. I'll be right back, I promise.
Not to Wetherspoons. Can I go to Crystals?
Yeah.
Anyone who listens to the Football Ramble 5 or 6 years ago will enjoy that Crystals reference.
Because
there was a nightclub. At Crystal Palace called Crystals.
In the grounds?
That Pete Donaldson always wanted to go to. Aww. And I think he did once.
Okay.
Anyway, back to Dante's Pete.
Sure.
So where the hell were we?
We've got the dog.
Yes. Harry and co, they're being chased by a cloud.
Yes.
And that makes the entire town combust.
Yes.
And they drive into a mine.
Yes. It was set up earlier, in fairness.
Yes, it's well set up. It's a quite a well-designed film, I think.
There's a piece of writing coming up in a moment that everybody has to go to prison for, but okay. I'll flag it.
And inspired by real events.
Right.
Is what I read. Montserrat, there was a volcano.
Yep.
Everyone died in town.
Right.
Apart from one man who was locked up in the dungeon of a local jail.
Oh, right.
And so, inspired by that, they stuck them in a mine.
I like it.
Underground.
I think it's clever.
It's good. So Harry's looking for Elf to transmit a signal that they are still alive. And he locates it while being crushed.
Well, this is the thing. So, two very weird pieces of writing here. They're like, oh, we're in the car. We've made it in the mine. Great, let's get out of the car. And then he's like, shit, well, I forgot the elf. Are you joking? You forgot it? Shut up. Prison. Prison for you, writer. We can do better than that. But the next, I think it's my favourite scene. It's not really. The kids are stressed. And he's like, well, your Uncle Harry's here to like make you feel calm again, like I did with the handkerchief 5 minutes ago. So he's like, hey, kids, have you ever been deep sea fishing? No, me neither. If we get out of here, and it's like, Harry, what just happened to them on a fucking boat? Mm. Their grandma just died. Are you serious? Their nan got melted. The last time they went on a boat, Harry, their nana melted. And now you are using as the bait to get them through this.
Bait.
We'll get on a boat. No. No. Beep, no. Beep, beep, beep. No, we're not doing that. Mm. And we'll go fishing. They're going to be like, oh, well, like the dead fish we just saw, Harry, when Nana got killed. What a stupid thing to say to a child.
It's so interesting because you're saying that's the worst bit of that scene.
Yeah.
And one of my changes is a different bit of that speech, but we'll get there. I don't even think that's the worst bit of that speech. But yes, you're absolutely right. Why would you want to go fishing
saying?
With the man that doing something that just took Nana's legs? So he finds the elf and he gets the signal out. And they rescue him before they rescue the women and children. It just feels weird.
But it's the best bit is they get him out. They're like, Harry. And he's like, Linda's still down there, by the way.
I've left the women and children.
Rachel, with two small kids. Yeah, no, they're still there.
I'll be honest with you. I've done a reverse Titanic. I've really messed up here. But again, the scenes of everyone cheering his rescue, Donaldson was inspired by one of the times a girl got stuck in a well. Around that time, there was one in America.
Yes.
She got rescued, everyone cheering. He liked that scene, and so he put that in his
film. Well, fair enough. It's always a nice moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's just such a weird ending. Like,
yes.
The elf thing is transmitting because Harry's like, oh, I did it. And then there's a light beeping in a room where his team are. And the guy who broke his leg is like, how long's that light been flashing for? And someone's like, well, fucking no.
Yeah.
2 days. It's like, 2 days? He was in that car for 2 days.
2 days is an odd choice,
well,
isn't it?
Well, 3 days without water, you are dead.
Yeah.
So he seems all right when he comes out. But I don't know how he hasn't gone completely mad. Like, he can't move. He's being buried alive.
And isn't his bone sticking out of his leg or something?
Yeah, I thought that was quite good. You never see that in film. I don't see it.
Like, sticking out of his arm.
When you want to show a serious injury, you show a gash because the bone is like, bloody hell. I quite like that though. But also NASA are like, guys, we lent you the elf to test it. The light has been flashing for 2 days. What sort of test is this? You don't even pay attention.
Yes, I guess.
It's like a weird anti-ending.
How do you end a human versus volcano movie? This one chose.
I know. He's like, oh, we've done it, and then the volcano like does a volcano burp at the end to show it's not done yet.
No. But they live happily ever after and fly off, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So, I don't even know if I need to ask this. What is your favourite scene?
Grandma Melty Legs Bolt Tension.
It's maybe the most metal death we've ever done on the podcast. She walks. She steps. She chooses to step into acidic water and has her feet and legs burned off to save her family.
And it's penance.
Half of which she doesn't even like.
But she knows she has to. This is all her fault.
Yeah.
It's very good writing for
that. I mean, it's just obvious. Most valuable whatever.
Well, having just slagged him off a little bit, it probably is Pierce Brosnan, actually, because it wouldn't be the same without him. This film is very silly and very likeable. Much as I think of Pierce Brosnan. He gets extra points, and it's coincidental you mentioned glasses. The way that he uses glasses to look smart is peak. It's just, he's very, very good at that because he probably isn't that smart and he's not a volcanologist. But when I love it in films where someone does it in, I can't remember who does it in Volcano as well. Like, you're a glasses wearer, but when you want to make a point for some reason, you take them off because you're like, I'm being fucking serious now. And he's just prime, like holding them in his hand, being like, I'm just being really reasonable and I've noticed something no one else has. I just love all of that. So I'm going to say Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, you're right. He gets it, doesn't he? He says all this stupid stuff with a straight face.
Yes.
And you believe that he believes it, even though you know he's secretly winking at you.
Yeah.
That's quite clever.
And that's quite addictive. Like, that's what he does.
Yeah.
That's why he's such a good Bond.
Yeah.
Because all of Bond is, I mean, maybe not so much later, but it's supremely ridiculous.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I will never forget, I can't remember which one it is, where Denise Richards is called Christmas. Because I remember, as I said the other week, I don't know if you were here, my family tradition was we got sent out of the house to watch whatever was on at the cinema when my mum was getting the house ready for Christmas. And I remember watching the Bond where, and I'm with my family, and maybe it's a false memory, but I remember him saying, I thought Christmas only comes once a year. Yes. And I was like, what the... I didn't know what that meant, but I had an idea that it was very, very, very rude.
Yeah.
And it's like, but who are you? would Daniel Craig do that? Maybe. But now I think about that line with fondness, because when Pierce Brosnan says it, it's not so creepy you want to like pull your eyes out.
She was Dr. Christmas Jones.
Christmas Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, how rude. I mean, if she's going to do it twice, let her do it twice. You should be pleased.
Most valuable whatever for me. It's obvious, isn't it? Granny's legs are the most valuable thing in this movie.
Definitely.
Until they're not there, they are very important to this film. Change. What would you change, Vicky?
This is a complicated one to make work, but it's not my job to make it work. It's just my job to say it. So I think they need to be an established family and not just essentially one dinner in because... So the only way to make it work is his job nearly got her killed at the beginning, right?
Mm.
And they've stayed together begrudgingly. They move around all the time and now she wants to move to Dante's Peak and settle. And he says, no, it's volatile. And she says, no, it's not. You just want to keep moving. She stays. He's right. And then he realizes how dangerous his job is and so basically decides to do something else. Or they've split up. He lives there because he loves volcanoes so much. Mm. She's gone to visit him on his, like, you know, annual whatever to see the kids because he's a bit of a shit dad. And during this time together, the peak blows up and he rescues his family. But the emotional, it just didn't feel as weighty as it should when they are all cuddling at the end. And also talking to somebody else's kids, he's very familiar with them. Bearing in mind, he's been round for a bit of like Parmigiana once.
Mm.
So it just fell off. I don't know. No. I don't mind for them. You know, just because they've not done it or whatever, it's fine. But he is basically their dad now.
Yes.
And he might as well just be their dad.
So your change is wanting it to be a different movie.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. So I haven't had as much time to think about this as you.
You can just say, yeah, I agree.
I want a line removed. And... It's funny enough, it's to do with his familiarity with the children.
Yeah.
In that speech,
sit on Uncle Harry's knee or anything.
In that speech where he's talking about them going on a fishing trip, he says to them, I'm going to get you all the yummiest foods. And that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's extremely creepy. And it's another red flag. You're a grown man.
These are not your kids.
These are not. Then they're certainly not toddlers.
No, one of them's quite old.
Yummiest foods.
I'm going to get you
the yummiest foods.
And they're like, oh.
Lollipops.
Mom, we don't like this man. Well, tough shit, kids, because guess what? You're stuck in a fucking mine shaft with him for 2 days. Yeah, he might be a pedo. We don't know. He didn't want to fuck me, so...
Oh, my God. At the death, this has taken the darkest of turns. Fucking hell.
They say it's like riding a bike. Really?
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh,
children
dear.
Like bikes.
No, you're absolutely right. That's a really good spot. And remove that line immediately. It's disgusting. Imagine typing it. I'm going to get you the yummiest thing.
We're done. We're done.
Well done.
So that is Dante's Peak. Done. Finally. Finally. And there's no clue for next week because there's no episode next week as the podcast draws to a close.
Yeah.
So I'm going to end by saying we are back with the very final Clash of the Titles, which is the mighty Volcano.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.